The human mind is full of mysteries. As the novelist Siri Hustvedt knows all too well, she has an undiagnosed seizure disorder, which can pop up at the most troublesome times. And it's led her to reflect on the connection between mind and body, and on more philosophical questions about personal identity and the nature of the self. She's written a book called The Shaking Woman, or A History of My Nerves. Hustvedt told Anne Strainchamps that her first shaking episode happened a few years ago at a memorial event for her father. With a speech in hand, she got up on stage at the college where her father used to teach.
As soon as I began to talk, I began to shake, but not a small shudder, not a tremor. I mean huge, convulsive spasms. I did manage to finish the speech.
So you could still talk?
I could still talk. Actually, I felt that from the neck up, I was completely in control. All my cognitive processes were functioning fine. It was from the neck down that I was out of control.
What did it look like from the outside to the audience?
Well, I think people were stunned. My mother said that it was as if she were looking at an electrocution. It ended then, and I was left with this striking question, what had just happened to me?
Did you drive straight to a hospital to try to find out?
You know, it's very interesting that I didn't. And when I think of it now, I was so blasé about it, almost disassociated from this event that had taken place. It was over. I've been a person who has had migraines for many years, and I've also had hallucinations, some very strange aura experiences with migraine. And I think I took it as a matter of course that my nervous system could produce unlikely symptoms. I had no idea at the time that it would happen again, but then it did.
At what point did you begin trying to investigate it?
Well, I started investigating it in my own mind almost instantly because I've been someone who's interested in neurology, psychoanalysis, and in recent years, neuroscience. I belong to a discussion group and belong to one now at Rockefeller University with clinicians and neuroscientists. So I thought, what exactly could cause this? And that's when I got into the strange issues of the mind-body problem. Was this what physicians would call a psychological problem? Was it connected to my father's death? Or was it a purely physiological reaction to, I think, stress in some way, the stress of having to give a speech? But I was not nervous beforehand.
So what did you eventually conclude about the shaking?
You know, it's still really, I have an undiagnosed seizure disorder. No one is quite sure what to make of this.
Do you still have it?
Yes, I still have it, and I medicate myself. I use propranolol, which is a beta blocker. It's a blood pressure medicine, and it does seem to put a lid on the release of the stress hormones, which I think are probably the onset of the seizure activity. But my conclusion, and I make it in all humility, is that I have a rather low seizure threshold, which means that external stimuli, like making a speech in public or being frightened of something, can put me into seizure activity.
So that's, in some ways, what you just gave me is the external explanation for almost the diagnosis of your shaking. But in a lot of the book, what you're exploring are the ways that we experience illness or particular symptoms internally. You know, it's the interior experience.
Absolutely. You know, diagnosis is interesting because in order to make a diagnosis, you have to abstract the illness from the person. In cases of neurological problems and psychiatric problems, it's very hard to remove the illness from the self. And my relationship to my migraines that have been going on for many, many years now since I was a child is that I understood the moment I said to myself, you have this. This is part of you. This is part of your hypersensitive nervous system. There are good sides to it. There are bad sides to it. But you can't reject it, and you can't act as if it's some alien part of the self. This has helped me live with it far better than if I were in mortal combat with my chronic headaches.
Well, that's very interesting because it suggests that the story you choose to tell yourself about your illness or about particular symptoms is what matters, that it's how you incorporate the illness into your sense of your own identity.
That's a very astute remark. We all tell ourselves stories about ourselves. I don't think that there is a single true narrative, but the stories we do tell ourselves are very important. And I think that in medicine, often, the narrative of the human being who has the illness is forgotten. Instead of thinking about a story of an illness, physicians have a tendency to look for a list of symptoms. That's a very static way of talking about illness.
You mentioned your migraines and the feeling you've always had that you have an extremely sensitive nervous system. Well, how far back does that go?
It goes as far back as I can remember. And when I was a child, my mother did always say that I was extremely sensitive, overly sensitive. This was the refrain in my family, and I think I bore it out in my character. I'm not blaming anyone for, you know, saying that.
Sensitive to what?
To everything. And not so long ago, when I was writing the book, I was reading some papers about a phenomenon called mirror touch synesthesia, which is when people see someone else being touched or slapped or pinched, and they actually have a sensation in their own bodies of that slap or touch. And I realized I have it.
Hmm. Now, are you also really sensitive to experiences of beauty, for instance? Colors, art, landscape?
Yes, I write about art. I've written especially about painting. And I find that I love to look at paintings, but I can't look at too many or I become unwell. That has a name, too. It's called Stendhal syndrome. And I don't know the original story if Stendhal got sick somewhere looking at paintings, but it's not unknown. And once I had to review a show at the Museum of Modern Art, and there were quite a few pictures in the show, and I left in a state of nausea and migraine. So I have to limit what I see. But I think the pictures that I look at very intensely and feel them very deeply. At the same time, this is, again, part of the story of a personality, a character. And without those, I don't know if you even want to call it symptoms, without my nervous system, I would be someone else.
Well, and for one thing, those very qualities might be what's made you a novelist.
I think it's entirely possible. You know, there is an interesting link between epilepsy, especially temporal lobe epilepsy, and something called hypergraphia, which is the need to write. I've been fascinated by this for some time. Dostoevsky probably had it. Many novelists do exhibit a need to write. Not really writing by choice, but because you have to do it. And there may be a neurological component to this. There probably is.
That's novelist Siri Hustvedt talking with Anne Strainchamps. Her book is called The Shaking Woman, or A History of My Nerves.